Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. Now, I know this is radio, but I'm wearing my Uncle Sam jacket this morning. And I've got the top hat that Uncle Sam wears. And I haven't shaved, and so my beard is coming in a little bit, and it's gray. So I kind of look like Uncle Sam. I want you to call House Smarts Radio. See what I did there? See what I did there? Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Lindsay, you went to a fish fry last night. I think that guy that just talked about the flag was there with you. I don't know. You know, he sounded like he might have been there.
That was my uncle.
That was your uncle. That's right. I remember Uncle Jimmy, right? He was so nice to call in. Anyway, nice to see you this morning. Good morning to Joe. Good morning to Don. Nice to have you guys with us this morning as well.
Morning, Lou.
Good morning, Uncle Sam.
Thank you. I want you. You know, this morning, as we get ready for the show, you know, Lindsay and I are talking about, you know, different things and whatever. And she says to me, What is it that you said to me? The first thing in the morning, like you said.
I don't know. Where are you going with this? What did I say?
Something about you were at dinner and you guys were talking about different things, and then you gave me a joke right out of the box, which I think is a great way to start.
Like,
we can all use a little levity right in the morning, first thing in the morning, before people call, before we answer all of your questions about anything going on around your home. She starts my morning with this. This would be when you start speaking. Go ahead.
I'm talking.
This is how it started, Joe. She like stumbled on the whole setup of the joke. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Why does Cinderella never play soccer?
Anyone?
I don't know.
Something about not having a shoe or something.
See, that's what I went with. Cleat. She didn't have any shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No. Because she runs away from the ball.
What?
Oh, the ball.
Why are you laughing? Why isn't anybody laughing?
Yeah, right. So maybe that wasn't the way to start the date.
It took me a minute. Cinderella, the ball. Oh, yeah.
Right, right. Okay. The stumble in the beginning.
Lindsay just dropped that cold in the middle of the...
Why does Elsa...
Okay, here we...
I did.
Clearly a woman that has young girls. All Disney character
jokes.
Wait,
this is a good one. Elsa. This is a good one.
Okay, here we go.
Let's finish it with this.
Right. Okay.
Why does Elsa never hold balloons?
I know this one. Can I say it? Or do you...
Sure. Oh, something about...
Go like, ahead, Joe. It'll be funnier coming from you.
because she always lets him go. Because she'll just let it go.
I feel like you were mocking me in that answer.
The answer stumble.
I was trying to answer it like one of your daughters.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I think this whole bit is not working. I really thought that it was going to be a nice levity moment.
It'll be better live.
Can we start the show again? Can you just play that regen?
Sure. Yeah, I'll play. I'll start it all over again. All right. Hi, everybody. It's Lou Manfredini. It's House Smarts Radio.
Nice outfit.
Right. 877-213-4-LOU. I am dressed like Uncle Sam this morning. I hope that you're all having a lovely weekend and have a little time off and maybe gathering with some friends. I know that that's what we're going to try and do as well. And, you know, those mosquitoes are coming out. What's going on in and around your home that I can help you with? All you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call, 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568 is the phone number. Coming up a little bit later on, you know, one of the things that has been most popular is swimming pools. And I'm going to have a conversation with a swimming pool builder. Now the guy is more into education about pools, and we'll talk a little bit about the installs. And he told me that his friends who are still in the install business now, get this, they are 2 years backlogged to build swimming pools. 2 years. And it's just the demand. It's predominantly what we spoke of was in-ground swimming pools, and that's really his specialty. And I, you know, we talked about hot tub spas, and then the conversation led to inflatable spas, which You'll be interested to hear his position on all of that. So that's coming up a little bit later on this morning. And then speaking of fire and fireworks, are you doing any backyard fires? Well, we have a Noodaloo 2 that is probably the simplest way to create a backyard fire. And that is coming up in just a few minutes early on here on House Smarts Radio. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Our first call this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/LOU. Let's go to the phone lines now and talk to Joe, who's in Norton Shores, Michigan. Hi, Joe. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I need to know what caulk you recommend for bathroom showers, like on a fiberglass shower.
Are you going to do this yourself, and we're going to remove the old caulking that's there?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a caulk that came out a couple, 3 years ago that I was at a trade show. And it's from a company that makes really good caulking, and it's specifically designed for the bathroom, and it's called Cleanz, C-L-E-A-N-Z.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if they still have this warranty, but when this caulking first came out, and it comes in, it has a mildew inhibitor in it that will not allow mold or mildew to grow on the caulking. And they had a guarantee when it first came out, you may need to look on the box, or the bottle rather, that said that if your bathroom were to mildew or mold or something, or the caulk were to fail, they would send somebody back within a certain period of time to re-caulk your tub, which I thought was like, wow, that's pretty good. But it comes in white, almond, and clear, but the thing is, Joe, it's all about the prep work, so make sure you get all of the old caulking out of there, taken away from it, and dry before you put the new stuff down.
I know. It's the hard part is getting all the old stuff off.
100%. Putting the new stuff down is easy. It's like decorating a cake, for crying out loud.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Well, have a wonderful holiday weekend.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. How about we do this? We've got Greg and Robert on the line. You guys hang on there. We'll take a quick break. This jacket, this Uncle Sam jacket, it's a little tight in the shoulders. Like, I feel like if I bring my arms, I'll rip the back of it like John Cena. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4LOU. I'm your Yankee Loodle Daddy today.
Good one.
Yeah, thank you.
Look, see, you're so funny, too.
I know. I'm so funny, and my delivery is so good.
How about Yankee Doodle Handy?
Oh, that's good. Yankee Doodle Handy. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Handy.
Oh, my God. We want people to keep listening. Oh, here we go.
How come there aren't any knock-knock jokes?
Are you Googling stuff? Go again. What?
No, I'm just ripping this off.
All right. What?
How? No, this is not Disney. This is 4th of July. We're keeping in the spirit. I was very caught off guard. Everybody ready?
Yeah. Go ahead.
How come there aren't any knock-knock jokes about America?
Anyone? Bueller?
Because freedom rings.
I like that.
Come on.
That's a good one.
Good. This on purpose.
I enjoy
that's
that.
Good, right? She's like, nobody even gave me a courtesy laugh
it's
on the
patriotic.
Other one.
It's a patriotic joke.
Take line one. I'm being back to
oh,
mean.
My God.
Take line one.
Yeah. Studio laughter.
That is so funny.
Goodbye.
Go answer the phones. 877-213-4. I'm kidding. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm getting dirty looks. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Greg calling in. Hey, Greg, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
How you doing, Lou?
Good. What's going on?
Good. How are you doing? Yeah, I got some hard oak timbers, and I want to protect them. Some kind of sealer or something with some color I could put on them.
Where are these?
They're going to be outside.
They're going to be. Are they going to be on the ground? Are they going to be standing up?
No, they're going to be on the ground.
Okay. Are you going to try and pre-treat them before you put them in and then lay them down?
Yes.
Okay. You may have heard me talk about this terrific oil-based stain that I think would be really appropriate for this would be called Penofin, P-E-N-O-F-I-N. And it is a rosewood oil. It's a rosewood oil-based stain that can be used for really a myriad of wood products. And with this oak, because it's so dense in their older timbers, if you can sand them just a little bit to open up the fibers, even with a random orbit sander, or even if you wanted to just use a coarse sanding sponge if you wanted to do it by hand, just to open up the fibers a little bit so that the Penofin and the stain can absorb in. Wipe it, put it in with a brush, put it on with a big staining brush, obviously with the grain,
okay,
and then come back with a rag after that and wipe it down. And since it's going to be in ground contact, you know, typically you just put one coat of this on there, but if you let it go 24 hours and then you hit it again with a second coat for ground contact,
yep,
that wouldn't be a bad idea if you've got the time to do that.
Okay. All right. Now, how's that spelled again?
P-E-N-O-F-I-N.
F-I-N. Okay, got it.
You got it.
I know you told me about a project called Challenger for getting grease off the concrete floor. That stuff works.
Oh, my God. That Challenger is such a terrific cleaning product. You got to be careful using it because full strength, it's really harsh. But
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm glad that worked out, and I'm glad you called in this morning. Thanks so much for doing that. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Robert calling in from New York. Hey, Robert, good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing
first
great.
First time listener, first time caller.
Perfect.
How's it going?
It's going great. How may I help you this morning?
Oh, I got this siding on my house. You know that siding that looks like fake wooden shingles, but it's all plastic and clips together?
Yep.
It's infested with wasps and hornets, and I mean, each side of my house has like probably four active hives, and I can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Can you access the? Do you have to put a ladder up to where you have to go after them?
Even the ones on the low level. You know, I put up those traps.
Right.
The mix.
Here's the thing when it comes to wasps and hornets. It is a three-day proposition to get rid of them. And what I would tell you to do is, since you have so many active nests around the home, go to the hardware store, home center, buy probably three or four cans of foaming wasp spray. Okay?
Okay.
And what you're going to do once you get that is the best time to spray this is in the evening at night as it cools down and they're all in the nest. So let's say tonight you go, you know, fun Saturday night, you're up on the ladder spraying for wasps. But and the thing is, you got to hold that trigger when you're there a good 5 seconds. And so if you've got a ladder or whatever it is, you're going to pull that trigger. It'll shoot, you know, 10, 15 feet or so. And then it's you count to five, so it really penetrates. And then get down off the ladder and run away. Leave them alone. Then tomorrow, come back and do the same thing. And then Monday, come back and do the same thing. The foaming spray will expand into the nest, and it will contaminate the nest. But the thing is, if it only contaminates a little bit of it, they're so industrious that they'll come back and repair it and go. And the biggest issue is that you need to repeat the treatment 3 days in a row. If you do what I just described, you'll be able to solve the problem. And they won't come back because there's residual properties for that foaming spray. So as they're sniffing around trying to find a spot to use the nest, it won't be attractive to them at all. And then after you know they've been eliminated, you can take a hose and kind of spray if you have any, residual from the foam spray, but it's typically dries clear. You won't even know it.
Okay. Yeah. Most of these nests are like under the shingles.
Yeah. So right. That's why you got to get up under, pry it up a little bit and then hold that thing. You got to be brave and then you spray it and 3 days in a row and you'll solve that problem for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213. Let's see if we can get one more call in here. This is Barb calling in from Jersey. Hey, Barb, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and happy 4th of July, and it should be a safe one for the whole world.
I agree. That's very nice to say. May I help you with something?
Yes, please. Could you help me with something? I have hedges that are growing around the front of my home, a lot of them, and they've been there since I bought the house, and I like to keep it there because it sort of gives me privacy. No one could see in. But lately, I've noticed that there's poison ivy growing in between them, and I noticed that this year, there's so much of it that you don't have to look. It pops out at you. How do I get rid of the poison ivy without cutting it?
And so it was hard to hear you at first. You said these are bushes in the front of your property. Is that right?
Hedges.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, we can hear you. It's just a little muffled. So you have hedges, and then
I'll take you off speakerphone just so I don't hear you as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that could be why. Sure.
Okay.
All right.
I don't hear that well.
Right, I understand. Yes. Much better. So you have hedges.
With the whole front of my home. I'm a corner property.
Got it.
So I have a lot of hedges.
Okay.
And they're really like the height of a person. They're pretty tall, and I keep them that way since I bought the house 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed last year there was a little bit of poison ivy growing. We tried to get rid of it. And this year, I noticed that, the poison ivy has grown so rampantly
sure.
that you can't miss it.
Okay, grab a pencil or a pen, and I want you to write this down, okay?
Okay, I'm getting a pen. All right. Could I bring you home for me to help me?
I wish I could come and help you, but I'm scared of I'm scared of the poison ivy.
Yeah, I'm scared of it, too, and I don't want people walking by.
Harris, Harris is the first name you're going to write down, H-A-R-R-I-S, Harris.
H-A-R-R-I-S, Harris?
Harris, 20% vinegar.
V-I-N, vinegar, yes.
Vinegar, weed spray. So it is a vinegar-based weed spray, and you're going to, without touching the poison ivy, you're going to get on your hands and knees, and you're going to spray the weeds, not the hedges. It will kill the weed so that you can then put gloves on and pull the weed out, and it'll create some residual value so the poison ivy doesn't come back, and then you won't harm the hedges at all as long as you just spray the weed, and it should work out just fine. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to your host, your handyman hero, Lou Manfredini in House Smarts Radio.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. Poor man's made out of muscle.
We made pizza on the grill last night, which I'm telling you, everyone needs to try that. It's awesome. Welcome back. 877-213-4LOU. First time we did it, we actually made the homemade dough, which was very good. But now you can buy the pre-made dough that holds up better on the grill, and then you just do your toppings on top. You get the grill to be about 600 degrees or so, and you put the pizza with your toppings on there for 4 minutes. And it just immediately melts everything and kind of gives that little bit of a char to the bottom of the pizza dough. And it's thin and crispy and delicious. I highly recommend
Yum.
It. Yeah, really good. And you can put anything you want on it. You know, you can make it totally personalized. It was really a lot of fun and delicious. You know, the best part is I didn't cook it. My son and my daughter-in-law, and they did it all. My future daughter-in-law. I want it to be the daughter-in-law, not just future.
I mean,
it is. It,
you've been.
I can just say
been,
that.
It's been long enough.
It has. Right.
Yes.
Right. 877-213-4 Lou. 877-213-4568. This is Jim in Shorewood. Hey, Jim. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I have a question about my injector. Pit and pump. First off, what type of water ends up in that pit?
Well, an ejector pump if that's what it is, it's typically servicing the sewer line from either a laundry sink or a bathroom if you have one on the lower level. Do you have a bathroom on the lower level?
Yes, I do. I have a bathroom in the basement.
Right.
And what happened was my pump was running constantly, so I unplugged it. And then my son took a shower, and I ended up having water on the floor.
Yeah.
But it wasn't from the pit. The pit wasn't overflowing. So I don't know if there was like a clog in the pipe somewhere, and I have to get somebody to...
Well, Jim, when you said you unplugged the pump, where was the water?
The water was about 4 feet away from it, coming from a wall. That's where it appeared to be coming from.
Okay.
When I found the water, I haven't really found the source of it, but it looked like it was coming from the wall, my exterior wall, and I didn't know if there was something to do with the injector pit just constantly running, and it may be clogged. And with my son taking a shower, I got a crack in the pipe somewhere.
It could be, you know, that the vent that comes out of there, or there could be another pipe that comes in there. And it, remember, water seeks its own level. And so since the pit is lower, there could be a couple of pipes coming into the ejector pit. And when it backs up, because now the pump is not pumping it and that water in the pit rises, it's going to find another pipe to go to. And maybe what it did, instead of overflowing through, you know, the top of the pit, because typically a sump pump pit lid is sealed, because if you take the lid off, it smells, because it's, you know, the toilet water and the sink and everything goes in there. So, I would start with the pump. As far as which pump to get, I'm a big fan of Zoeller. Zoeller makes really good cast iron. They have a line of plastic shelled pumps, but I would definitely go with their cast iron line of an ejector pit.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of a, if you want to do this yourself, you can. It's a kind of a stinky, messy job, but, you know, you've got to pull the old pump out. I would highly recommend that you replace the check valve also, so that that's all new. And, you know, you may have to, you know, clean the pit out of any debris that might be in there that has been causing some issues with the pump. Again, it's not the type of thing you want to be talking about first thing in the morning, but it is a vital part of your system. And that backup, you know, almost, I guarantee you, happened because the pump was, you know, disconnected. And when he took the shower, you just overloaded the system. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is a phone number. Let's talk to Alan, who's calling in from Newark. Hey, Al, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Sorry, that's me. My fault. I got to hit the button. I'll try that again. Al, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. I have a plastic tub surround in my bathroom, and a little mold is growing where the tub surround meets the tub, and I'm trying to know what to wipe it off with. Should I use bleach and water, or is there a product?
I wouldn't use bleach and water. I would use a cleaner that has a little bit more residual value. I want you to buy a spray bottle. You have a pen or a pencil? Here I go again, spelling. Yeah. It's like I should be a teacher. Okay. Concrobium is the product. It would be easier if everybody just changed the name of their products to Acme. Go get the Acme 123, right? Then everybody knows how to spell Acme. Concrobium, right. C-O-N. Look, I got to write it down. C-R-O-B-I-U-M. So much spelling.
Right.
So much spelling. This product will... what you're going to do is you're going to spray it on, and then you're going to let it dry. And it's going to kill whatever mildew and mold that's there. Now, it's possible, Al, that it has already stained the caulking, but maybe not.
Right.
And so once it dries, okay, so you're going to spray it on, let it dry, spray it again, and then take a little nylon scrubbing brush or you know, a Scotch-Brite pad or something when it's wet, and then try and gently scrub it away. If you wipe it away and it's great, perfect. Don't rinse it. It'll have a little bit of residual value, so it'll keep the mildew from coming back again. Once it's all nice and clean, I have one other product for you. Wet and forget shower.
Oh, yes.
Then
I've used that.
All right, once a week, the shower product, once a week, spray, and the walls and everything, and let it just slowly, you know, ooze down all the way down to the drain, completely safe to use on an acrylic surround like that. And then when you get back in the shower and you're showering up, you know, you'll rinse it off a little bit and you'll go. And that will keep the mildew and mold at bay.
Now, Concrobium, can I get that at Ace Hardware?
You can. You absolutely can. Okay. And it is safe to use. No bleach.
Thank you very much.
No bleach. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. 877-213-4LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Happy 4th of July weekend. Lou Manfredini here, House Smarts Radio. This is Howard in Jupiter, Florida. Hi, Howard.
Okay, everything's good over here, and we're waiting for a little hurricane, but fortunately, it's not going to be a bad one. Okay, let me tell you my predicament here. By the way, my condo was built after Hurricane Andrew, and they changed the rule, you know, the rules on how to build the condo. So I'm safer than pre-construction before Andrew.
Got it.
However, what was happening is soffits were dropping off my condo. And the engineers came in and they tested everything and actually did it by sound. They were they didn't use sophisticated instruments, but they were banging and they determined that the balconies were really bad. The rebars, they drilled into the rebars were failing. So what's happening right now is they're doing the balconies and they're doing the catwalks and they're replacing the rebars and everything is going to be great. However, what I did is I pulled up all my rugs and I got rid of all the furniture because what I want to do is I'm going to put new furniture, new rugs, and I want to do a new kitchen. My question is this. Can I put the rug in, what do I do first? Do I paint with the rugs on or to take the rugs completely off? I have half the rugs off now.
Well,
what's the best way to paint?
I mean, the best, if you're going to replace the flooring with new carpeting, then
yes.
I would have that be the last thing that goes in, right? That way, I mean, whoever when you have, I'm assuming you're going to have this professionally installed. And so the new rugs, the walls will be finished. They'll take care not to mark up the walls. There may be a little touch-up that you have to do. But the risk of painting with brand-new carpeting, I mean, certainly it can be done. If you hired painters in there and you had finished floors, they would tarp everything. But in the case of what you're speaking of, get all the dirty work done and let the flooring be the last thing to come in. And if you've got to do a little bit of touch-up afterwards, then you handle that then.
But I pull up the rugs and then paint or leave the half the rugs in there. And I cut away half the rugs.
Well,
so
I mean,
should I take all the rugs?
Take them all out. Take them all out, and then whatever the subfloor is, that'll be your canvas for your painting. If you spill a little paint on that, that's not going to matter with the new carpeting. So take it all up, do your painting, and then have them come in and put the new flooring in when you're done.
Okay, my last question, and this is very important. I want to have the kitchen completely done. Should I paint, put the rugs down, and then have the kitchen done? I think, and how can I, for example, can I put a curtain to stop the, when the kitchen is being done, all the dust coming out?
Mm.
What do you suggest?
I mean, if you're going to do this much work, okay, and if you were hiring me, Howard, to be your general contractor, and you said, I want to redo the kitchen, and I want to paint the walls, and I want to do the, you know, flooring, we would do the kitchen first, because chances are we're going to have to patch some walls or maybe move something and do some plastering. And then when I'm all done with the kitchen, right, my new cabinets and my countertops, whatever. Then we come in and we paint everything, and then we come and put the finished floor in. Now, if your lifestyle allows that, you know, that you could be without a kitchen, do that first, that would be the way to go. If not, then they can certainly put up a protection wall of plastic, not a curtain, where it would be zippered and sealed, and they could keep all the dust in one room. Although, best efforts, there will still be dust in the rest of the house, no matter how good these folks are, just because of the work. So the right way to do it would be as I described.
Okay, you answered my question. I'll do the kitchen first, and then I'll do the rest. And thank you for your information. As always, you do a great job on the show.
You're very kind. Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. Let's see if we can sneak one more call in here before we have to take a break. This is Tom in White Plains. Hey, Tom, good morning. Thomas, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Lou. Happy 4th of July weekend to you.
You too. How may I help you, sir?
Lou, about 4 years ago, I had all my fascia board changed from the existing wood to PVC. And it's where he couldn't make the long run with the PVC, he had to seam it.
Right.
And either at the time, the seams were either nice and tight, or he caulked it and it looked great. And now, like 4 years later, those seams are showing.
Right.
What can I use on the PVC to straighten that out, get rid of those seams, make it look beautiful?
All right. So, I mean, even with the PVC, you do get a little expansion and contraction also because it's nailed to the house that has, you know, rafters or framing, whatever it is, that moves a little bit too. What is it painted? Is it painted a color?
No,
it's white.
I didn't paint the PVC at
okay.
all.
So it's just, it's white.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So there's a company, there's a caulking that I really like that's super stretchy called Lexel, L-E-X-E-L. And they make it in a clear and they make it in a white. And they even make it, since it's just seams, like in a squeeze tube, so you don't have to buy a huge tube of it. And just go up there, clean, wipe it clean, you know, with a damp rag, and then make sure it's dry, and then put a nice even bead in there, and then even it out with a putty knife or your finger, and then just let it dry, and it should be enough to kind of blend it all in for you. But you will get expansion and contraction on there, but this stays super stretchy and should hold up really well for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Jack Black, as you know, I'm a huge fan of Jack Black, and Tenacious D is a very popular duo that both Joe and Don are slightly obsessed with. Would that be
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Certainly in the high school years, yeah, loved those guys.
And so during COVID, Jack Black has posted these unbelievably amazing videos on Instagram where I don't even know, you know, obviously Jack Black's made a lot of money and he's produced these things just for the pure enjoyment of people to watch, right? And he is, if you don't know Jack Black, he is not ashamed of being shirtless.
Right. He's a flaunter.
And he's a kind of a rotund man, but he's super talented. And so they have this new single out and an album coming out. And this particular one is called, it's a Beatles tribute. But the album is supporting Doctors Without Borders. So there's a whole philanthropic angle to the whole thing. It is one of the most fun things you'll ever see. There, you can just tell these two guys are just enjoying the heck out of what they're doing. And it's almost infectious.
Oh yeah,
Don, you said you cried a little bit. You were laughing so hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely did. I will admit that. When, Jack Black and Kyle Gass, just you can see them on camera really just smiling at each other all the time. And then they break into this little scatting thing, and Jack Black with his crazy eyes and just makes his voice go all over the place. I was crying laughing. It's very funny.
My God. It is so funny. It is so funny.
Right there? Yeah. Yes.
It's really, really funny. So
yeah, his eyes just get really wide.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I love
it. So anyway, you can check it out on Instagram, follow Jack Black, and then there's a way to support Doctors Without Borders, which is an amazing organization that has been around for a long time. And, you know, there's so many great places to give money to, but you can get a little enjoyment and help that organization out as well. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone calls, and yeah, no, two's not there, so let's try three, which I think is Julie in Kankakee. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Happy
Good morning.
July 3rd.
You too. How may I help you?
Well, I have recently, my husband and I, well, a year and a half, say, we moved into a new old home, and I have lots of pictures to hang. But my old home is plaster walls. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, do I have to use a drill, or what's your advice on hanging pictures?
Boy, it's funny. Okay, so you moved into a new old home. Did you move into a bigger old home?
Exactly.
Yeah,
we did. We upsized, which
it is
unusual.
You know, it. But what's funny is, okay, now you say that, and the reason I asked you that is I know several people that have done that. They have, and I don't know if it's due to the pandemic or maybe they were living in a smaller space and were, you know, doing stuff, but it seems like the, you know, close to retiring or retiring crowd is selling their home and buying bigger homes.
Yeah, that's exactly what
interesting.
We did. But we did it pre-pandemic.
You did.
So we just.
And you couldn't have been, and you probably couldn't have been more happy during the pandemic that you had a bigger home.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and we absolutely love it here. But I just have all these lovely pictures to hang that I really didn't even always get around from my old house to hang.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to hang them.
All right, so here's my trick with plaster walls, because the issue is the plaster is strong enough to hold pictures by itself, even if you don't hit the framing. So for your general pictures that are probably 3 pounds or less, okay? And three pounds, by the way, is a pretty heavy picture. I want you to buy inch and a half hardened trim nails.
Okay.
And the hardened trim nail is designed really to be used like in oak or maple where you would be able to nail into that hardwood. But it also works really well for plaster. With a plaster wall, if you just got a regular trim nail, you'd start tapping it in and you'd bend it. So this way, an inch and a half nail is very small. And if you place it on the wall and you carefully tap it in, it'll make a very small hole in the plaster. But then if you needed to pull it out, you just have a little bitty hole that you could put some spackle in to cover it up. But it will do great for your general pictures. Obviously, if you're going to hang something a little bit heavier, I want you to hit the framing of the walls. You know, you have to determine that. But this, you could probably do 90% of your stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You just made my day. Okay. And do I need to put the nail in straight, or do I do it on a slant?
A slight angle, like, you know, 15, 20 degrees or something like that.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Congratulations. I hope you do well hanging up all those pictures. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Sylvia calling in from Wheaton. Hi, Sylvia. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Unfortunately, my granite countertops were cleaned with vinegar and water for many years.
Mm.
And, of course, it's lost its luster. I have tried liquid gold. It doesn't seem to work. You know, I've done it a number of times. So what I need is a local contractor to refinish the granite. I've loved Lindeman. They're really good for my fireplace.
Yeah, they don't do granite countertops.
Now I need a name for countertops.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There is a company, and I think they service Wheaton, called Sun Gloss Marble. Now, the name is a little deceiving, but it is a, they do refinish stone and counters. And you would have to look up the number, but they could be ones, you know, they could mechanically polish the countertop and bring it back. It is not going to be an inexpensive proposition, Sylvia.
Oh, okay.
Before you do that, though, I want you to try one thing. You said you tried liquid gold, but there's a company called Granite Gold that makes a countertop polish. And maybe, just maybe, it's worth the investment. The bottle's not that expensive. Spray this on a little 3-foot by 3-foot area. Use a microfiber towel in a circular motion and work in a small area going across the counter and let it dry. And then go right back over it again and do it again and let it dry and see if that potentially brings back the luster. If not, then maybe somebody like a sunglass. Actually, Lindsay found the phone number. I have it if you'd like.
I've got a pen.
773.
Yes. Say again.
773.
773.
685.
685.
2500.
2500. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful 4th of July weekend.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LU is our phone number. 877-213-4LU.
Same thing.
Oh, my God. 877-213-4568. How about our next caller gets a House March radio hat sponsored by our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating your kitchen or bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or give them a call, 773-661-0606. And we're going to send that hat out to Dan, who's calling in this morning from New Lenox. Dan, good morning. You're on House March Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Love your show. My wife and I listen to you all the time.
Thank you. How may I help you?
Quick question. I have a pen that exploded in a dryer on a dryer drum. And I noticed that there's a lot of things on YouTube, and I'm trying to look for a safe option that's non-abrasive and not risky.
Superzilla. It is a lightweight oil and cleaner. Okay, is this a gas dryer?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to buy a little spray bottle of it, and where the pen exploded, I want you to spray the drum, not overspray it, but just a good... Right? Leave it there for 10 minutes. Take a microfiber towel and wipe it away. Then take that same microfiber towel and get it wet with a little, like a dish soap. You know, actually, you know what? You got any Pine Sol laying around?
I believe I do.
Yeah. Okay, so a little pine, just a little bit, because Pine Sol suds up a little bit. So get it wet with the Pine Sol. Maybe some warm water, wring it out so it's damp, and then wipe the residue from the oil on there, and it should clean it up and look brand new.
Excellent.
The Superzilla is hard to find. It's not, if you're, where are you at? New Lenox? Maybe your hardware store carries it. Call them, because they don't all carry it. But it's really, really good stuff.
All right. Thank you very much. And there's no alcohol or anything that's going to...
No, it's bio-based. It's made from corn.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and enjoy your weekend.
You got it. You too. Happy 4th of July weekend as well. 877-213-4LU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Tony calling in from Highland Park. Tony, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Good to hear from you. Listen, we've lived over 50 years in a plaster home, and the lady called about hanging pictures. I might just add a suggestion, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely.
What has really worked well, and you don't have any damage at all on the plaster, a small piece of tape, maybe a 1-inch piece of tape where you're going to put the hole, and those manufactured hangers, the ones that they have the very sharp nail like you suggested, but they have the angle where it hooks on it
with the little hook.
Really well.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have no damage on the plaster. It can hang multiple different weights, and the beauty is that nail will even hit the lath in the back and not crack the lath. if you get in on an angle. So I would suggest putting a little bit of masking tape right before where you're going to put the hole, and you'll have no damage on that plaster
that way,
whatsoever.
Yeah, that way it doesn't pop the plaster. Yeah, that's a really good tip, and I had forgotten about that one. You know, the thing is, you live long enough, you forget these kinds of things, right?
Yes. I enjoy your show. Your tips are excellent. I listen to you every Saturday. I always learn something from
you're
you.
You're very kind. That's very nice. And actually, you know what? Can we get Tony a hat, too? He was nice enough to call. And I grew up in
really?
I grew up in Highland Park. Come on. I mean, let's do this, Tony. Let's make sure I can figure out how to put you on hold. And I'm going to park you right here, Tony. You stay right there. I'm going to put Tony on 2. I'm going to put him there. Tony, we're going to send you out a House Smarts radio hat, sponsored by our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating a kitchen or bathroom, like I said, they can do it all. Cobblestone's a full-service remodeling company. CobblestoneRemodeling.com is the website, or call 773-661-0606. Yeah, it's funny. You know, like the whole tape thing, he's right. I do remember that trick. And I was telling the story the other day when I was working on my father-in-law's, we put in a new sink, and the lead service coming into the sink after we did all the plumbing work started to leak a little bit. And I was like, ah, you know, this stinks because lead is just, I'm not set up. I don't have that kind of gear, nor do I have that expertise. And I'm there and I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, you know, they make these clamps that you can put around pipes that have a rubber gasket. And my brother-in-law was helping me do it, Peter. And I'm like, go get this clamp. And, you know, and I'm lying on the floor, right, in this house built in the 1800s. I'm lying on the floor looking at this thing and I'm going, and it's just this little pinhole leak coming out of the kind of the bulbous part of the lead that's wrapped around the pipe. And I'm looking at it, you know, and I'm thinking, well, how am I going to get this thing to stop leaking? And then all of a sudden it dawns on me. And I say to my father-in-law, hey, do you got a ball peen hammer? And of course, because he's been around a long time, he says, what size? Because he has several ball peen hammers in stock. And I go, I'll take the medium size. And so he brings me a ball peen hammer. For those of you that know, it's a hammer that's predominantly used in metal fabrication, but it's also used in plumbing. And so the peen side of it, the small little rounded tip, was used when they would do lead pipes to lead is malleable. And as you strike it with the hammer, it actually heats up a little bit. And so I'm going tap, 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 and I'm moving the lead around to seal the hole. And I get it to stop leaking. And my brother-in-law, Peter, goes, how did you know to do that? And I was reminded of, and this is probably something that none of you will remember, but there was a TV series called Taxi with Danny DeVito, Mary Lou Henner, and who's the actor that plays the scientist in Back to the Future? That actor, you know, the Doc. He plays Doc. Remember?
Doc. I get Doc.
You can picture him. Well, he plays this. He yeah. plays this guy that's he's like a drug addict, recovering alcoholic in the play. Or in the series, and they're at some dinner party, and they're in the tuxedo, and the guy, the actor that plays Doc, sits at the grand piano, and Danny DeVito's next to him, and he plays this unbelievable virtuoso on the piano, you know, and he's like kind of this fried guy, you know, he's got these big eyes and whatever, and Danny DeVito goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you know how to play the piano, and he goes, I didn't know either. That's how I felt when I was using the ball peen hammer. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. When we come back, we're going to talk about swimming pool. Everybody in the pool. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini. Summertime is here. And for many, maybe not as many as you would think, but getting out in the pool and relaxing on those hot summer days can be one of the best things ever. Or maybe you're lucky enough, like me, to have an outdoor spa, hot tub, which I absolutely love. My kids call it my office, because if you want to find me, I'm there. But there's a lot of choices when it comes to swimming pools and relaxing in the backyard. There's someone that goes by the name of Swimming Pool Steve out of Canada. And Steve joins us this morning on House Smarts Radio. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. I know that you are a second generation pool builder. How did that all get started?
Well, I got started pretty early into the family business. I come from a family of pool builders, and by the time I joined, it was kind of, you know, we were just renovating and maintaining the existing clientele, and I did that for 10 years in Oakville, Ontario, before I wanted to learn more about pool construction, and I moved to the west coast of Canada, where I got involved in the concrete pool construction industry, really interesting industry out there.
So you were building like big pools, both residential and commercial?
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely. I spent quite a bit of time building in Whistler, Canada. So if you've ever been to Whistler, Canada and sat in a hot tub, maybe I built that one.
That's awesome. I mean, besides obviously digging a deep hole and kind of figuring out how you're going to pipe it and build all the structure around it, I mean, one of the benefits of building pools like that is that you can really make it any shape or size that you want, right?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And that's something that's specific to the concrete pool market. That's kind of like one of their main benefits, is that there's really no limitations. You can do anything with concrete.
Right, right. But it can be a fairly pricey endeavor, right? I mean, I know a number of years ago, I spoke to a pool builder, and I was interested in actually having an in-ground spa built. And the pool builder came to me, you know, and gave me an estimate, which was really expensive. And he said, you know, it would be cheaper for you to put in a pool and then add a hot tub. I mean, he was being facetious, yep. But he said, you know, all the work that would go into building a large in-ground spa is the same as building a pool, right, as far as the equipment goes.
Absolutely. Going to build a custom hot tub. It is essentially a small swimming pool, and it's a little bit of a, you know, different product altogether than something that you might go and buy from a brick and mortar retail store that sells hot tubs, where you just buy one and drop it into place. Custom building a hot tub, that's a pretty big job.
Right. But they are so cool. I mean, they are so much fun. Now, you know, I think that there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, I would never want a swimming pool. It's so much work, or, you know, maybe it's so expensive. I mean, I know they can be very expensive to heat.
It's a big commitment, for sure.
Right. But you have sort of switched from being a builder to being a person more for educating people so that they can get as much information, you know, before they go into that endeavor. What are some questions that people should ask themselves, you know, before they perhaps make the investment of doing an in-ground pool? That's what we're really, I want to talk to you about, in-ground pools.
Sure, yeah. Well, there's a host of variables that you need to consider before you install an in-ground pool. That's a permanent commitment. You're changing your real estate permanently.
Right.
And you know, the thing with a swimming pool is, you know, if you buy one and then you don't use it, well, you're still going to pay for it, and you still have to maintain it. You can't just ignore it when they break. You must fix it. So it is a real commitment. So you must be sure that you want one before you want an in-ground pool, that's for sure.
If you make that decision to put the pool in, what are we talking about? Is it something you have to daily maintain? Is it something you have to weekly maintain? Are you better off hiring you mentioned when you started, you were servicing this stuff, right? You were the pool guy. Hey, there's Steve. Hey, yep, Steve, can you fix my pool? I mean, right? That's probably what you were doing a long time ago.
Mostly, yeah, that's true. And, you know, less on the, you know, the maintenance in terms of chemical maintenance and vacuuming. In terms of answering your question, well, it's really relative to the swimming pool that we're talking about. You know, a modern day swimming pool could just be like a simple above ground pool with a pump and a filter, a single skimmer, a single return. Or you could be talking about a complex in-ground concrete pool that has an automatic in-floor cleaning system and an advanced sanitation and oxidation systems. It really changes how much personal interaction you're going to have involved with this pool. But I think it's safe to say that pretty much every pool owner should be out there in the backyard once to twice per week, kind of brushing down the walls, testing the chemistry, making sure everything is within the correct parameters, checking your filter to make sure that the pressure is not too high. So there is a learning curve to pool maintenance. Mm. And at first you will have to put in more time, but you know, over time it gets easier and easier. And the old timers will all tell you that, you know, they hardly put any time into taking care of their pool. because they know what they're doing by that point.
Right.
There is a learning curve, to be sure.
You know, I want to talk to you a little bit about spas. I mentioned to you that a number of years ago I wanted to do an in-ground pool. And what I did was, you know, I was speaking with my wife about this, and I took spray paint. And I spray painted, you know, marking paint on the ground. And I'm like, this is what I want it to look like. You know, it was kind of almost an amoeba shape. And at the time, I have a nephew named Theo who was probably 6 or 7 years old. And he said, Uncle Lou, what's the lines on the grass? I go, oh, that's going to be maybe the hot tub that Uncle Lou is going to have built in here. Well, then, you know, a few weeks went by. And he came running into the house. My wife's name is Mary Beth. He's like, Hey, Mary Beth. The hot tub is gone because the grass had grown and we'd cut the grass. But the point was, just like you said, they're so expensive to put in ground. I ultimately went with an above ground, put a slab down and put a hot tub on top of that. Even though that ultimately wasn't what I thought I wanted, I really am amazed at the ease of maintaining something like that. Obviously, the reduced cost, but you were recently quoted in an article that talked about inflatable hot tubs. And actually, that was my first iteration. I'm like, I'm going to try one of these and see if I like it. And here you are. You have all this experience as a custom pool builder, and you're actually kind of on board with these things.
I am. And truth be told, I wanted to hate them because I want to give you a reason to buy a $15,000 or $30,000 hot tub. But the reality is, if you're just, you know, dipping your toe into the market, pun intended, I don't see how you can go wrong with one of these inflatable units. They're standalone. They take so little to set them up. The cost is not even comparable. Like the hot tub that you're talking about that you probably ended up going with, the cover that you used to use on that hot tub is probably the same price as the entire inflatable hot tub package.
How did you know that? I was just talking with my wife this morning that we need a new cover because it's waterlogged, and the new cover is close to $1,000.
Yeah, for a good one, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and you can get the whole inflatable hot tub for less than that.
Well, I mean, you could, hypothetically, but they're in pretty short supply these days.
Yeah.
It's one of the items that kind of got bought off the shelves quickly, and I've not seen, you know, the restocking happens, but it just seems like it's so popular right now. These inflatable tubs are harder to get than ever.
Right. I mean, I think that's such a truth with so many things out there. But, you know, swimming pools in particular, even for the builders, I'm sure, right, the demand... you know, over the last, you know, 15, 18 months where people maybe were on the fence going, boy, you know, if we had a swimming pool in our backyard since we're home so much, this would be a great thing. I bet even a lot of people that you know in the industry are pretty busy.
Lou, this is my 30th year in the pool industry, and I've never seen anything like this.
Wow.
I don't even know how to measure the metric by how much we're up, but every single person I know active in the industry is running themselves ragged right now, just trying to keep up with the influx of phone calls and customers and issues with, you know, different products that will run out periodically, and then you have to switch to something else. And that's the thing with swimming pools, they're so demanding. You can't just, you know, let one turn green because your pump broke and we'll deal with that later. Like, if
right.
the pump you don't want isn't in stock, well, you got to hustle and find something else because you need to get it installed ASAP before the pool turns green on you.
Right. One last question. I'd like your opinion on this because I'm curious. I have a family member who has a home in Arizona, and they have a swimming pool, and they have a heater on it, but they don't necessarily run it all the time, and they've mentioned how, you know, it's a gas heater. It's very expensive to heat a pool with gas. And I was just curious while, you know, I was doing a little investigation, and I don't own a large pool, but I see a lot of these solar panel systems for heating pools. Are they a worthy investment, and can they do the job, or is it more of a supplemental?
Well, I mean, certainly in Arizona, you could probably boil your pool with a good solar panel set up there, but... It really depends on what your expectations of function are, as well as your geographic location. Obviously, my house in Ontario, Canada, is going to perform a lot differently than a solar system in a house in Arizona.
Right.
So what I tend to say is that, by and large, solar installations are for improving the in-season swimming temperatures. but you will not be able to extend your swimming season. If you live in an area where, you know, you've got kind of some colder shoulder months and you kind of want to utilize those for swimming, a solar heater is probably not going to get you there. Got but it. if you're happy enough with your swimming season, you just would like a, you know, couple more degrees for comfort when you're swimming, well, that's when the solar is going to be great for you.
You want to learn about the ins and outs of swimming pool pumps and reviews? Well, Swimming Pool Steve has it all available. His website is swimmingpoolsteve.com. I really appreciate you getting up with us this morning and giving us a little bit of information, and I wish you continued success and health to you and your family.
No, thank you, Lou.
Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This is Tim calling in from Chicago. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you, sir?
Well, we had our basement refinished a couple years ago. It has concrete walls, and it's a very nicely dry basement. We decided to keep the concrete walls and the masonry contractor put up, you know, mesh and a new smooth layer of concrete, and then finish that on top with some coats of Portland cement whitewash, so it looks, you know, very nice and good texture. Over time, though, you know, it's developed quite a few hairline cracks. The structural integrity of it is fine, though. That's not really the issue. But, you know, my goal is, I'm curious what your suggestion would be to try to cosmetically cover these up to the best degree possible. I had one of the guys from the original crew come back and a couple other people, and he suggested that he'd apply another layer of Portland whitewash cement and then said, well, you could also maybe put some acrylic paint over that because it moves and stretches. So I'm kind of curious your reaction, what you think would be a good course here, and any thoughts?
Well, when you said hairline crack, I think you could probably get away with like 100% acrylic finish over the top of it and maybe,
okay,
you know, not, I don't want to say a heavy coat, but a liberal coat of it,
right,
to fill in. Now, You said you had this thing, Portland, over the top of it. When the Portland went over it, was the Portland colored, or did you then put a finish coat of something over the top of that?
No, it was white. It was Portland.
Got it. Okay.
Whitewash.
So there is,
it stayed that way. Yeah.
Okay. There is a cementitious coating that's designed for stucco and cement wall applications that you have called Thorough Coat. THORO coat. And that ultimately, I think, is what you could do that would bond with the existing Portland, because it's a cement based product as well. And it would definitely fill the cracks, and it would have, you'd have a new layer of it, and it can be tinted, or you can leave it white.
Right.
I think you do have to tint it even white, because I think it, you know, it's more of a cement color without
anything.
And that's
anything. Okay for interior use, Thorough Coat?
100%. And
is that an elastomeric? Because I looked into that, and then I got some feedback that's not a good idea to do indoors in case you get moisture coming through.
I don't think it's an elastomeric. It's a Portland base, so it still breathes. Okay. I mean, look, the reality of it is, if you have moisture coming in, it's going to bang up against the first coat there, and that's where the problems are going to be. And if you put an acrylic paint coating over the top of it, you're going to create a little bit of a barrier there too, because it's not going to, you know, technically breathe. So you're
right.
You know, in that argument, a regular acrylic paint would kind of do the same thing. But I would
Thorough Coat.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so Thorough Coat would be your first go-to on this one.
100%.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
I will check it out. I appreciate the input.
Good luck with the project. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back after this. We're broadcasting live from the Permaseal Foundation Repair Studio. So there was this station email, you know, that went around. And I'm pretty sure, and I think, Lindsay, you know what I'm talking about. It was like a... It went to all the on-air staff, but I think it went to other people as well. And I was the only one that responded that I, in fact, positively responded to this email. And there was just a commercial for McDonald's. You know, McDonald's is advertising on WGN Radio. They've finally come to their senses. And I, for the longest time, have always wanted to have someone like a McDonald's be a sponsor of House Smarts Radio, right? So I could say, you know, like in the morning, right, we start at 6 in the morning, right? Good morning, everybody. Welcome to House Smarts Radio, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know, if you go to the McDonald's on in Deerfield, where I worked, and you could get an Egg McMuffin and a hash brown and a cup of coffee for, you know, whatever, $2, say House Smarts Radio, right? Like, and we're driving traffic to the McDonald's. Anyway, the email was, have any of you ever worked at a McDonald's? Joe Brand, did you ever work at a McDonald's?
Never at McDonald's, no.
No? Don?
Hey, Don, did you ever work at a McDonald's?
No.
He said no.
No.
He's on his way.
He said no. Okay. He's on his way to McDonald's.
Yeah, not yet.
No, but I said, like, darn it. Now he's got to talk to me, and I want to go get an Egg McMuffin. So I'm the only person at WGN Radio, to the best of my knowledge, that ever worked at a McDonald's. How about that?
Out of everybody here?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing, when we received the email, my first thought was I was going to actually, because I feel like you are always spouting out these random jobs
pieces
or
of information.
Places that you lived or right. things that you had or cars that you drove. And I almost forwarded it to you and jokingly said, are you going to respond to this one? I bet you did. And before I could even do it, I get an email back from Lou. I did.
I loved working joking. At McDonald's. My friend Tim McIntyre and I both worked at the same McDonald's in Deerfield. As a matter of fact, we were one of the first stores to ever serve the McRib. That's how old I am. The McRib was like brand new.
Wow.
When it came out. Yep. And they sent this special thing that stored the McRibs that you put it in the sauce. I don't know what they do now. But with the French roll. And actually, I'm going to take credit for the invention of the McDonald's salad. Because we used to take the lettuce that would go on a Big Mac, and then we would take the secret sauce and squirt it onto a bowl, and we'd make a salad, because it's really Thousand Island dressing.
So healthy. Yeah.
Not healthy at all.
Secret's out.
We thought it was. But I thought that was really funny, because like no one responded, and I'm pretty sure there was one person that said that they worked at McDonald's for one day.
Oh, my gosh.
I worked
gosh.
There for months.
One day?
They just listen to like this. It was so long ago, I'm going to show my age. You know, that what I can remember when I would mop the floors, which I was very good at mopping, and you would clean the tables off. Back then, I don't know how many people will remember this, but you could smoke in a McDonald's, and McDonald's had their own like proprietary ashtrays.
Oh my
they were
gosh.
These aluminum. There were these aluminum ashtrays that were probably the size of not a coffee saucer, smaller than that, and it had three little spots where you could put the cigarettes, and it had the McDonald's logo in the center of it, embossed.
I
think I remember
know
those.
What you're, I
can
know
you remember those?
About.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, and you could smoke while you're eating your quarter pounder with cheese. In the McDonald's. I mean, this is 1980. It was probably 1980 when
Paragon
I worked.
Paragon of health, healthy living.
Yeah, right. Right. I'm going to have a cigarette. I'm going to have a big Coke, and I'm a big thing of fries, and a quarter pounder of cheese, and I'm going to like it.
Right. I just don't understand how you could hold a job at McDonald's. And okay, all right, you're going to have this for your order. Yeah, all right. What's your name? Roger? George. Okay, got it.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Great.
I'm pretty sure, if I remember right, that McDonald's in Deerfield was one of the highest performing McDonald's in the country. Like, it had this huge lunch. It had this huge lunch rush. And what I can remember is the registers, because there were these little, there was like the first kind of iteration of a digital register. And it had these buttons. But, you know, it wasn't as sophisticated as it is now. And I believe that each register used to do $1,000 an hour during lunch from like 11 to 1. Like, it had this huge construction group of people. It was all this development going on around there in 1980. And it was cool. I loved working at McDonald's.
Sounds pretty nice.
Quick, my grandfather's claim to fame was he would always say, one of my worst mistakes of my life was one of my clients, he was an accountant, my grandfather, and he was asked to invest in some company. Oh, and I turned it down, some restaurant that was going to make a lot of money, and I just didn't do it. Ray Kroc.
Oh, no, Grandpa. Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Missed
crazy.
It.
Grandpa?
Missed it by that much.
I was like, oh, what was the restaurant, Grandpa? McDonald's.
McDonald's, yeah. Some guy used to sell it. Actually, good movie, The Founder.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a really good movie. Talks about Ray Kroc. And that's a really good movie with our buddy
Michael
Nick Offerman's in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. He's him, too.
That's right. He plays one of the McDonald's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Kroc stole the thing. Well, probably the McDonald's people don't want to relive that story. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. Let's talk with Marianne, who's in Orland Park. Hi, Marianne. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Good to talk to you.
How may I help you?
Well, yesterday I got flooded, and I got to make sure that I don't miss anything. The fill line on my toilet broke at the fitting where the line connects to the tank. And, so I got water in my drywall ceiling. About half of my ceiling in the family room is all wet and stained. And... let's see. The water actually got into my furnace supply ductwork. It drained out in the basement. But do I have to worry that there's going to be mold from residual water? And I'm assuming I got to get the drywall that got the drywall on the ceiling on the floor beneath it. I assume I got to get that changed out.
Well,
it was
hold on.
Funky yesterday.
Hold on before you do that. I mean, here's the thing. The one thing is the plus side to the water damage is it's clean water. Okay, so we'll stay positive with the fact that it's not contaminated water. Now, the ceiling between the bathroom, so this was a second floor ceiling?
The ceiling between the
second floor
the
and the first floor?
The second floor.
Okay.
Yeah, so, floor ceiling.
There's no insulation. Typically, in that void between the two floors, and so
that's good.
So the drywall, hopefully you have some fans going on it right now, and if you don't, get a couple of box fans and leave them there for like the next 3 days, and dry it out. And then once it's dry, you can kind of inspect maybe with a where the staining is with your fingers or a little. Poke it with a little screwdriver, as long as it doesn't like go in like easily, that drywall will dry, and then you may have to do a little bit of sanding or skim coating and then some stain killing, from whatever staining there's on the ceiling to repaint it, and you probably don't have to take that down. The issue with mildew and mold is if there's insulation in an outside wall or something like that, that is an area where it could potentially be concerned, but if you keep some fans blowing on it, did anything get in a wall, outside wall at all?
I think it did because I had water coming in by my, I have a window on the first floor, and so that's where a lot of water came down.
I see.
It came in the cavity by the window.
Okay.
And, poured onto my wood floor.
Got it. Okay, so where that wood floor is, if there's any outlets on those walls or switches, take the switch plates off of those so that you can, with the fan blowing on there, we can get some air in those voids to try and dry things out. You're probably okay not to have to take anything out if you keep the air flowing there. And, this water was flowing for how long?
Maybe an hour, because I was actually home, but I didn't hear it until it started cascading on
Got
the floor.
It. You're going to see on the wood floor is going to curl up on you, Marianne.
It did in some spots.
Keep the fan on there for like the next month, and it'll go back down. Don't do anything on the floor for a month. If you can keep that fan on low, just blowing across it, and it will settle down.
It will? Okay.
It will.
All right. Okay. Well, that's all great news. Now, I did have some carpet padding up on the second floor in the hallway that got wet, and the carpet's kind of dry, but I know the pad is saturated.
Pull the carpet back. Pull the carpet back. Expose the pad. And pull the pad up a little bit. And again, put a fan underneath there. Get as much airflow going. What's critical is that you get that airflow going now and at least for the next 3 days to dry it out initially. And then on those floor areas and wall areas, just keep those fans going for, you know, a week. The floor for a month. And I think you'll be good to go. Let's go to Palatine and talk with Steve. Hey, Steve, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I have an issue with, I have hardy board on the front. It's kind of like a faux Tudor thing.
Okay.
And at the edge where the gutter comes in, the flashing, it's been peeling and bunking for a while. I've had quite a few companies come out and look. They look at it and say, we don't do that. One guy said it's the flashing, and probably is, that's causing it. But is there an easy way to get, do you need to just replace hardy board, or is there anything to do with hardy board? It's that faux a stucco look.
It isn't the piece of trim, it's the hardy itself. It's the wall panel.
It's happening in another spot now.
Hardy, the thing is, hardy plank is great. It's a terrific product, but it needs to be flashed and sealed and caulked properly. Once water infiltrates it, okay? Because it's a blend of, you know, fibers and cement, it will puff up and start to flake off like that. So
exactly.
I'm surprised that you can't find, there's a bunch of different people you could contact to, the issue is it's a small repair, right? And getting someone to come out and do that would be, it's just going to be expensive, but you're in Palatine.
Yeah, everybody wants to come out and replace your roof and replace all your
Right. So a couple places that you could contact that would probably be able to help you. One, I just mentioned Cobblestone Remodeling because they do a lot of exterior siding and they may be able to provide a crew to do that repair. That would be one. The other, Rogers Roofing also does siding and gutters and flashing. That would probably be a number two that you could contact to take a look at that project. The one thing I will tell you, Steve, is, you know, you're probably going to wait a little bit because everybody's so busy that, you know, it might be the kind of thing that they say, hey, you know, we'll schedule this on a rainy day, or, you know, that we've got a crew and we'll send somebody over there. And, you know, it could be next week. It could be September. So if you have a little patience and then you're persistent, I think you could probably get it done with either one of those two outfits.
Cool. And also, I did one of the first McRibs also as a kid when I was working at McDonald's.
Right? Do you remember?
Those are great.
Do you remember
that?
Do you remember? Do you remember the stainless steel? It was like a rectangular, It actually had an insert where you the McRibs stood on edge.
Correct.
Remember it?
After you leaving them in for 6 or 7 hours, they were great. After clothes, when they were the waste, we would eat them.
Right. They were. I'm not quite sure what was in it, but when you're 16 years old, you don't really care.
and also, just, you know, then I worked at McDonald's corporate and I put them on the internet.
Really?
Yes. It's good. 1994.
Wow. Small world. Well, Don found the picture of you remember the ashtrays?
Yes. They
were called McButts. Get it? Cigarette butts. All right. Enough McDonald's talk. Goodbye. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I'm not sure if the McDonald's people are happy or not with the conversation we're having. All right. Coming up after news, it's time for our new Tulu 2. Now, I mean, you always want to be careful when you're having a, like if you're building a fire outside, and sometimes it can be really problematic. But what if I could make building a fire outside in your backyard the simplest thing ever? If you have a fire pit, this thing is awesome. Awesome sauce. Not on your McRib. Coming up after this report of WGN News. Our Noodaloo 2 is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
So my family and I took a trip last week to a lake house.
And before my handy husband arrived, who typically starts our bonfires, my sister and I tried to create our own. We did eventually get that flame going, but it took a while. And had I known of this weekend's New Toulouse 2, I probably would have chosen this route instead. Timber Tote is a one-log campfire that produces a clean, safe, and controlled flame. This ingenious little device hails all the way from central Wisconsin and is more reasonably priced than some bundles of firewood are. And it offers a solid 2 hours minimum of burning enjoyment. The Timber Tote is light and easy to carry since it comes with a rope handle fashioned on the side. Since it's made locally, you don't have to worry about bothering any trees. Timber Tote is comprised of a pine species indigenous to the Midwest area. Best of all, this self-proclaimed simple, clean campfire won't leave a big mess and is eco-friendly. Timber Totes are generally 12 inches tall with a 9 to 10 inch diameter. When you want to use it, you simply remove the paper, light the included starter stick, drop in the pre-drilled hole, sit back, and relax. Timber Tote Fire Log burns down to next to nothing, so it leaves you minimal cleanup. It's also safe for cooking, so bring on s'mores. Timber Tote Logs can be found at Ace Hardware, at Target. They usually go about $20. I've seen them as low as $17.99. To find out more about Timber Tote and all the other products they offer, visit HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's Noodle-oo-doo.
I mean, these little fire tote things are the coolest thing when they... So imagine it's a log hollowed out in the center. Then they drill a hole in the side with a little fire starter that they staple. It lights right away. And then it's like a little smokestack, like on a choo-choo train.
Purse.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
That is great. I mean, you should have seen us trying to start this fire. It was, I mean, we did it. I, you know, tried to make the teepee, but like it took a minute.
Yeah, right. It takes.
But had we had this.
This thing is cool.
It would have been perfect.
Timber Tote. It's a good one. Go to housemartsradio.com. Lindsay has the information up there for you as well. You can find it at a lot of hardware stores and home centers, and you just get a couple of them, throw them in the back of the car, and boom, you're done. And it burns for a really long time. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's talk to Lisa, who's in Shanahan. Hi, Lisa. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. Thanks, Lou, for taking my call. Enjoy your show every week, as everyone else does.
Thank you.
I have a question, actually, for a friend, a girl I work with. She painted her front door 2 weeks ago, and she used a product that's called Elastomeric Stucco Paint. Are you familiar with that?
I understand what it is, but it's, you said something that made me nervous because it said stucco paint, but she painted her front door?
She did. But now she has this ammonia smell to it that whenever it's warm, you know, when the heat is, you know, when they don't have the air on, the door smells like ammonia.
She painted the outside or the inside or both?
Both.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like it's the right paint.
Okay.
So that stucco, if it's an elastomeric
right.
Stucco paint, it's designed for porous material. And so the reason that ammonia smell is there is that the substrate of the door, I'm assuming a wood door.
I think it's wood or metal, one or the other.
Well, if it's metal, it's even worse. It can't absorb all the chemical, and so probably what's happened is the exterior of it is dry, but the underpinning of the coating is still not cured. And so that's the wrong paint for that application. Okay. And the
if you just use kind of stucco, the stucco would absorb all of that.
Right, because it's porous. Funny, that's the second question we've gotten concerning porous cementitious walls and coatings. But here's what I would do. I would tell her that the door needs to come off the hinges, put it up on a set of horses outside, sand off that old coating, okay, and then pick an acrylic paint. And it can be a latex acrylic paint for a door, probably in a semi-gloss that he or she can roll on to get a nice finish coat that will bond and cure, but the old, all that old coating needs to come off.
Okay. Just sand. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's a, yeah. It's probably okay. going to be a fairly big job, and I would definitely do it outside on a set of horses, not hanging on the, uh-huh. on the door itself.
Right. Gotcha. Yep. Sometimes you make a mistake and it's worth, it's harder to fix.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, well, thank you.
Wait, are you talking about my life or are you just talking about this door?
No.
Because I got a whole list I can tell you about.
Oh, as could I, but I told her, I was like, I will call in the morning on Saturday because Lou is the guru of everything.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much. And if you need help with hair color, I'm your guy too.
I heard that. Yeah. I may.
All right, goodbye. I appreciate you calling. 877-2134-LOU. Let's get one more call in here before we take a break. This is David, who's calling in from DeKalb. Hi, David. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you so much for taking my call.
What's going on?
So, we bought this house last year, and the front and the back doors, they're Larson storm doors. Now, these have a retractable screen that goes up into a roll. I've looked on YouTube everywhere to find out because the screens are coming out from. How do I get the screens tucked back into the sides?
Oh, you mean they're coming out of the track?
Correct. Okay. And I don't see any set screws to take this apart. I've looked on YouTube, everything.
Okay, so those retractable screens, so. It does operate, though, right? It does go up and down?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A lot of times what happens with those Larson doors is that track gets dirty, and that's where, right. And then when it gets dirty is when you get failure in the screens itself. It might be that track, I mean, I'm familiar with this door, but I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's probably extruded in the aluminum itself. That top...
Okay.
That top retractable portion of the screen should be able to be removed.
Okay.
And this is from memory, so I mean I could be dead wrong on this, but I what I remember is that top screen comes out, that bottom panel, am I right? There's like a bottom piece of aluminum that is the thing that goes up and down and then locks in place.
Correct.
So that all feeds into the top, and then the tracks are okay. extruded into the aluminum. So it's that piece that comes out, and then with that out, clean the inside of those tracks with like a little nylon bristled brush, and even, you know, as simple as dish soap and warm water, and then rinse it with water and clean it all out, and then top portion of it, and then line up the screen into those tracks, and that should work.
I will try that. I just found your show a couple months ago, and I really enjoy it. You guys are doing a great job.
Oh, that's very nice of you. It's all Lindsay's hard work, so I appreciate you listening.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good holiday.
Yeah, you too. Happy 4th of July weekend. I appreciate you calling and finding our show. That's nice to hear. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Myro in Chicago. Oh, wait a second. Myro, hold on a minute. No, I lost Myro, so we're going to go over here to Pat, who's in Palos Heights. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. I have a very wet house. I have a dehumidifier running 24/7 since the spring. I've had people down in my crawl space, and it looks dry, but when they stuck their finger in the ground under the plastic, it's very wet down there.
Mm.
So I've been told I need to get the water away from the house, and I don't know who to call. I'm a 90-year-old lady alone in my own house, and I need to have some advice.
Okay. Well, I have the perfect people to come and give you an honest evaluation of your home. As a matter of fact, I had that's the people of PermaSeal. They just went and did some evaluation of someone else that's in a similar situation with you that you're in about having a bunch of work done, and they you know, gave them an honest opinion about the work, but also said, you know, you have to decide whether this is a good use of the money of what you want to do. And I so appreciated them kind of giving people those options to make a good decision. Now, PermaSeal can come out. They can inspect that crawl space. They may recommend that you put some perimeter drain tile in the crawl to, you know, evacuate the water. But then they also install this, you know, that dehumidifier that you're running probably just isn't big enough to do the job. And so they offer and install this system called SaniDry, which is almost like a commercial dehumidifier, but it's very quiet. It's much more efficient than what you're running now, but it has a much larger capacity. And I bet the combination of those two things can solve that problem for you. So that way, you know, there's not potential for mildew and mold spores in the air. 90 years young, we get, you know, we'll get you another 10 years in that house of comfortableness. What do you think about that? Can we buy into that?
I don't know about the 10 years. I don't know if I want 10 years.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you have a pen or a pencil handy?
I do.
All right. 800.
Yes.
421.
Yes.
S-E-A-L.
S-E-A-L.
Right. And they work.
F as in Frank.
S as in Sam.
Permaseal.
Okay. Permaseal, right, just like their name. And so call them up. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. They're, you know, they're busier right now than a one-armed paper hanger because of all the rain and, you know, going along. But they'll get out there to give you an estimate and, you know, hopefully schedule the work as soon as possible.
Okay, well, 2 years ago, I had a new roof put on, and at that time, they went up in my attic, so I had mold issues, and I spent $5,000 to remediate those mold issues, so I'm trying to preclude that happening again, because I need to take care of this, so I didn't know if PermaSeal came out this way.
In Palos?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They originated in Northwest Indiana, and so they still have offices down that way, so they work all around the south side down there.
Okay. All right. I will give them a call, and I thank you very much.
You're welcome. By the way, it's Palos. I keep getting emails about that. It's not Palos Heights. It's Palos Heights, for those in the know. Just so you know.
I didn't know that.
I know. Just like you and Batavia.
I'll remember that.
877-213- What?
Another thing I've noticed that you've been switching is, and it's great. It was somebody called you out on how you would say how can I help you?
How may I help you?
And some woman kept saying it's how may I help you? Yeah. And
I have now changed my thing, because I've always said can, and there was a grammar police that called us up, remember, or did she send us a text or something, right? And I was like, you're right. I should, at the very least, with, you know, as fumbly as I am, at least I can do my best for good grammar. You ain't going to get that bad grammar around here. 877-213-4-LOU. How about one more call before we take a break? No? Yes? No? Yes? Come on. Let's talk to Maury, who's in Chicago. Maury, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, I have a very weathered old wooden door, and I'm not sure if I should try and stain it myself or have it professionally done. I tried a couple of years ago, and it's not good. So I've been reading about it and thought that maybe a gel stain would be better.
Mm. This is a wood door?
It's wood, yeah.
Yeah, I have never been a fan of the gel stains. I just don't like them. I don't think you get a really good. Do you want to try doing it yourself?
Well, we tried.
Okay, so you really don't. You want to get a painter to come do that?
I do.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't want to come out for a small job.
Yeah, it's hard for just a door. I get it. I will tell you this, that there is a... What part of Chicago are you in?
High Park.
Okay. I wonder if they go down to the south side. Well, they might. Ace Hardware has a new nationally launched handyman service called Ace Handyman Services. And they while they're just still ramping this thing up, they are slowly, you know, servicing certain areas of the city. I don't know that they go to Hyde Park. They may. I know that they do work in Chicago, but I don't know what the parameters of it are. But if you were to go to acehardware.com, there would be a link to their handyman services, and from there I think you can determine if in fact they could come out and help you. There's also the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. That website is NARI.org. And there you could find a handyman service that could potentially come out to your place to do something like this. That you're probably not going to get a painting contractor to come out to do one door, but a handyman service with that kind of experience could certainly help you sand the door down, put a nice stain on there, put a few coats of finish on there, and get that door looking the best it possibly can look.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Sacrete or Quickcrete. Quickcrete. Quickcrete.
And House Smarts Radio.
And has a 4.9 Google rating.
He really does know what he's talking about. Sometimes he just has a hard time getting it out.
Joining me on the phone line is Kat Kataringala. I had it.
Dang. Ding-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding-dong.
Now back to Lou Manfredini taking your calls live.
Karingala.
There you go. You're doing great, Lou. Don't worry about it.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. 877-213-4LOU. At least I'm easy to make fun of, right? It's not a lot of work.
So easy.
And you take it so,
so
well.
So easy. Even Don. Look at Don just jumps right in.
And I mean, I just, you know, I couldn't do it if it weren't
yeah,
easy, you know?
Right. Don's like, how is it working with that Lou Manfredini? It's so easy to make fun of that old guy. I mean, he just puts his foot in his mouth constantly.
It's ripe. Ripe for parody.
But you know what? You laugh with us.
I
so
do.
That's the most
I do. Course. Why? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Come on. I mean, what? Because what am I going to do? Otherwise, I would cry,
yeah,
right?
You don't want to take it too seriously.
Oh, really? My gosh.
We don't know what happens after the show, but on the air, you sound great.
Oh, my God. On the air, it's like, he's so smart. If he just would just stick to home improvement stuff, you know, he really knows he gets very serious about that. But then the rest of life just constantly gets in the way. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm doing my best. That's all I can do. What are you doing for the 4th of July weekend? Let's get Don. Do you have big plans for the 4th of July? Are you off this weekend?
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend Gretchen are going to do some kayaking on the lake tomorrow morning. And then there's like a festival with some go-karts and mini golf at like the Goose Island area. We're going to do that too. And then,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, grill a little
Joe
bit.
Brand, you or the beautiful Mrs. Brand going to do anything this weekend?
Well, as typical Illinoisans, we're thinking about going to my wife's cottage over in Indiana.
There you go.
Big group of cousins all over there, some people from out of town. So obviously we couldn't do it last year, so I think we're going to be doing that today.
Right, nice. Right. And Lindsay, I know that you are going to go to Green Bay or in Green Bay.
That's right, up in the sticks of Wisconsin. We're going to watch some fireworks, and they've got a million, you know, it's nonstop fireworks.
Right.
From last night until tomorrow night.
Right, exactly. It's
so
right.
It's just
right. Did you see?
What about you? What
did
are we,
you see,
what
well,
are you
we,
doing,
we
Lou?
Are, we have a bunch of family members. We're going to also be in Wisconsin, and we'll,
a small party, like 35 people.
Just a small group, yeah, for us. But it is, you know, it's... Every day, you know, as we get around people, you become a little... I realize, you know, I keep reading this stuff about... I just can't wait until we don't have to say, well, you know, the pandemic or this and that. I mean, it certainly seems like we're getting there. But, you know, what was interesting is that when I spoke to the pool guy, Steve the pool guy, he's in Canada. And Canada is still, like, locked down.
Yeah.
And I can't understand... I mean, he said that there's shortages of vaccines. And, I mean, it's Canada. It's, you know, it's America's attic. Right. I would think that if we're shipping stuff around, if we have a surplus, but it sounds like Canada has the same sort of issues we have in the U.S., where there's a lot of people that are choosing not to get vaccinated, which is causing a problem with their numbers there, which is just sad. That, I mean, if you're in the U.S., you can't go to Canada, which is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It's a wild situation.
Yeah, it's sad. I want my Canadian brothers to be, healthy, right? Yeah,
maybe they'll see some of the fireworks over here and be like, man, we got to get
we could have that too, right? Yeah. Right, exactly. They just look over the river or whatever, the right. ocean.
Yep.
Not the ocean, the lakes.
Yeah, the border.
The border, thank you. There we go. Something else for you to make fun of me on. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. I think Don just set me up. This is Mike in Coal City. Hey, Mike, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Lou. Hey, I had a question about stainless steel sinks.
Okay.
What's the cleaner you use to...
just to clean it?
To clean the stainless steel sink.
Not to take scratches out, just to clean it.
Yes, just to clean
it. I am a huge fan of Barkeeper's Friend and a Scotch-Brite pad. And so if you get the sink wet and you sprinkle some Barkeeper's Friend in the base of the sink, and then you go with the graining of the sink with the Scotch-Brite pad, it'll be so clean and look so nice. Now, it's not going to take any scratches out, but it will get that stainless looking the best it possibly can. I use it on our own stainless steel sinks. I use it on the bottoms of our cooking pans, when you get kind of that burnt food that gets that brown color, you put a little elbow grease and on the bottom of the pans, I'll use my favorite scrubbing pad, the Copper Chore Boy, and really work it there. And you get that in the paste, it looks fantastic.
Oh, that sounds good. Now, one more thing though, the sink is in the basement, kitchen sink in the basement, and mm-hmm. the basement has an ejector pit.
No problem. So not a problem. Not at all. Not at all. Won't harm it whatsoever. That is one of those products that I started using literally when I was a bartender. It was the first time I ever started using it. The guy that I was working with said, use this when you clean the sinks. It'll look, they'll look really nice. I want to see those sinks shine when I come in the morning. And I'd be down there scrubbing like Andy Griffith and No Time for Sergeants. Nobody? Anyone? Anyone? Anyway, it's a great scene in that movie, but it really, really works well. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. No, I have nobody on any of those lines, and there's no one on line. There's no one on one on my end. We lost line one. I think Kathy was there, and then she's gone. She's all right. Marilyn? Do I have you, Mary?
This is Linda from Harwood Heights.
Oh, hi, Linda from Harwood Heights. Like I said, this is Linda from Harwood Heights. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Has anyone ever called you Marilyn by mistake? Hey, Marilyn.
No. But it'll be fine.
Well,
that's okay.
You know what? Today was the first time people called you Marilyn. Called you Marilyn, so there you go.
Okay, I want to say two things. One is that I really love the show, and I wish I would have started listening years and years ago because, it made me so much smarter as taking care of my house.
Oh, that's...
And the second thing... and the second thing is I feel very sorry for people who call the David Hochberg show, and they actually need to be calling this show because they're asking for little repairs and stuff, you know what I mean? And so it's very funny that I wish you were also on that panel because I'm telling you, so many questions could be answered by you that don't need a big job. So I feel bad, but anyway.
Wow, don't feel badly. David, and he has a nice group of experts that he brings in each week, and I know that they are all trying to do their very best, and they're two different kinds of shows. I appreciate you listening, and I know the people that listen to David's show appreciate listening to him, but how may I help you this morning?
Okay, so I was either going to buy, I'm downsizing, so I either wanted to buy a condo or a small house. And so I looked at a condo, and there's four units, two above and two below.
And they're in a very nice area. They're known to be, you know, very good for resale and everything. But this was an as-is condo. So when I walked in, there were carpets in the living room and a little tile in the foyer and some tile in the kitchen. And it was obvious when we walked in that there was a crack, but it had heaved in the cement underneath the carpet. And it was from the foyer through just a small part of the living room and into the kitchen. You could see, I could see the separation, but the thing that bothered me is that it seemed heaved at the foyer. So I called the building manager and I said, can you please give me some guidance? You know, is this a big deal? And he said that there were two pores, a structural pore under all four units that was connected. And then there was another pore just under the two bottom units. I never heard that before. And he said, so that should be, he said, a little more than cosmetic, but it shouldn't be terrible. And when you get to your inspection, then, you know, maybe bring at the same time, bring like the permaseal people in and have them do, you know, like inspection and a quote. But I never heard of two pores. And I thought, did I hear it right? I'm a woman, you know, I'm older, maybe I don't know. So that's the first thing. Did you ever hear of two pores? The second thing is there any place I could get a schematic like that's listed in Illinois where I could see if there's an actual two pores?
Okay. There's a lot of things in that, what you just said. So, A, it doesn't matter that you're a woman. You want to understand whatever, you know, is out there to understand what's going on. This condo that you're talking about is a first floor ground level condo?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And, okay, so then, and then the base of this ground floor condo is concrete, the floor.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Now, the floor typically of a, you know, of a building has no connection whatsoever to the foundation or structure of the home. Any structural walls would be on top of the foundation walls, and then the slab, the concrete slab that's inside of the condominium, you know, essentially is wall-to-wall carpeting, but it's concrete, right? So 4 inches thick.
Okay.
So it is not, now it might be, it may be what they call pinned to the foundation wall, which maybe is the reference to the structural. But that's really not a structural thing. It's just to keep the concrete wall, or excuse me, the concrete floor stable against the foundation wall. But the interior part of it is just sitting on the ground. Now, if there's a heaving of the floor, so the as is a funny thing, especially in a condominium where you're buying into, you know, ownership of individual units, but then you're part of an association, you may have an issue if it's a structural issue with a mortgage, because they have to verify that the home is structurally sound. And there's rules about as is as it pertains to things that, you know, you may have to consult your real estate attorney about, just to make sure you're not being taken advantage of, and that whatever rights you have in a purchase like this, that you're not, you know, you're exercising all the rights that the law provides. Can that be fixed? Can it be pinned? Can it be raised? Absolutely. It's not a structural thing. If there's some type of heaving or pushing out, you mentioned PermaSeal, they can come in and actually level that floor using their poly level that they talk about. That has to be done with no, you know, when the unit is empty, to be able to ensure that it's fine. Or it might be that the prudent thing to do would be to cut out the slab there and then pour a new section of the slab that then gets pinned, you know, with rods to the other one to keep that and make it one level pour so that you can then finish the floor. So it's a little...
And it, so all of the, real cost,
well,
costly?
I mean, here's the thing. All of that is... it could be... And the thing is, that wouldn't be part of a regular inspection, you know what I mean? And so your regular home inspector wouldn't cover that. They'd be like, hey, yeah, lady, this thing is heaved, and you're going to have to figure that out. Now, could you schedule someone like a PermaSeal to come in, it possibly. I don't know that that estimate would be free because it's part of a purchase. So I just want to be fair to them and to you.
I wouldn't mind.
But you know, my other question is the finished floor over the top of this or is the concrete exposed?
It's a carpet over one area and it's tile over another. So there's no exposure where I can actually see it. I actually wanted to pull the carpet back and my realtor said, no, you can't pull the carpet
back. The only way that you would, I mean, you'd be wasting your time and your money having like PermaSeal come out unless they can see all that. So that carpeting would have to be pulled back. And if the home is being sold as is, then that is something I would negotiate with the seller to allow you to do. I mean, if you are a serious buyer, then and they're selling as is, and there is this, you know, this defect in the, you know, the floor there that you need to be aware of, then you absolutely have to expose that so that anyone that looks at that could give you an honest, you know, at least a good tight ballpark estimate as to what it would cost to fix.
Well, here's the thing. This is good in one way and bad in another. I'm a cash buyer, so I don't need that bank. The problem is I don't want to get stuck with something that's so costly that
correct.
I pay too much.
Correct. So, okay. So,
I would make a serious bid with that contingency that we could pull that up and I could have somebody look at it.
100%. Good, so, right? if you're a cash buyer and you're going to negotiate a price, say, okay, whatever, X amount of dollars I'm willing to pay, but it's contingent upon my inspection, and I need to be able to pull that floor carpeting back to inspect it, blah, 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 blah. And you may need, you know, typically the inspection time, I believe, is 10 days. And what I, you know, what I caution you is, like, I know PermaSeal is very busy helping people with, you know, flooded basements and whatever. Whether or not you could get them there in 10 days or not, I don't know. So you may need to negotiate that as well, to have them come out and just buy yourself enough time and make sure, just like you said, it's contingent upon your offer. And then, you know, going in eyes wide open, what's involved. But it is just a slab. It's not, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, but it could be $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, you know, depending on what the repair needs to be. Thank you so much for the phone call. Hey, our Just Text Me segment is coming up next. If you'd like to text in, you can do that at 877-213-4LOU. We'll take a quick break for news and we'll be back after this. Joe Brand is a Southsider, right?
I am. Proud Southsider, yes.
Okay, proud Southsider. Palos or Palos?
Well, definitely not Palos. I mean, I tend to say Palos, but it's Palos, I'm pretty sure, is the correct pronunciation.
So I get these text messages all the time from people that say, oh, no, you got to say it like this, you got to say it like this. And then our old friend Steve Alexander, he texts in, he goes, did you say Palos Heights, not Palos, ? And then Lindsay texts him back, he did. And then he sends a phone number. And I go, well, let's just call Steve and find out. So this is the number he sends, and Lindsay thinks that she's calling him. So I'm going to dial the number now. And I'm not, honestly, I don't know what's going to happen.
Phone. Thank you for calling the City of Palos Heights. Our office is now closed. Our regular business hours are 8:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Okay, so that's the City of Palos Heights, right? Hold on. I'm going to call again. Now I know what's happening. This is the city, right? Here we go. Everyone listen closely.
Thank you for calling the City of Palos Heights. Our office is
right. Palos Heights.
That sounded like a Palos. Yep. Yeah.
Palos Heights.
There's no pal.
There's no pal. So who are these people who are texting me? The actual city. That lady at the city.
Palace.
She sounds like a nice lady. That lady's from the South Side.
Where the gas is only this much.
Right. I'm telling you, and I will go with this my whole life. You can live your whole life on 95th Street.
You can.
Everything you need in your life, anything you need, is on 95th Street on the South Side.
Pretty much, right? pretty much grew up right on there.
Right. Yep. I mean, from one end to the other, you can go to the grocery store, you can get gas, you can buy several different brands of cars. You can get chicken wings.
You can drive all the way down, go to Maple Lake and go fishing.
Yep, you can go. I mean, what else do you need? There's a bank. There's several banks.
There's a hospital.
I'm sure there's the barbershop. Right?
There's an old, well, there used to be a Hollywood Video.
Nobody uses videos anymore. Okay, well, there used to be that. Chicken wings, burgers, right? I'm pretty sure there used to be a Tilted Kilt. Is that still there?
Why am I blanking on?
Tilted Kilt.
Yes. Yeah, because you shouldn't go there. That's why.
I have no idea where that would be.
No disrespect, but no married man should be going into a Tilted Kilt.
Unless you have a gift card you got to use.
Okay. Well, there's the qualifier. Honey, I had a gift card.
I had to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my excuse for Hooters. I had a gift card. The wings are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 877-213-4LOU. Thank you, Steve Alexander. 877-213-4568. This is George calling in from, I'll say this right.
I thought we were going to do Just Text Me.
Oh, yeah. George, hold on a minute.
Yes.
George, let me take your call from Peru, Illinois. Go ahead.
Yes, Lou, thanks for taking my call. I have a home that was built back in the 1950s. It's a pebble dash home, and I have known for a long time that the walls do not have any insulation in them. And I'm wondering whether or not it's practical to do something to insulate those walls. In addition, it's complicated by the fact that I have like a firewall that is in the lower part of the wall, and I was told that they did that in order to keep any fire that did start down to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering whether or not it's practical and what would be the best way to do the insulation of those walls.
Let me ask you a couple other questions about this, George. What is the vintage of the windows and doors you have on the exterior of the home?
Well, I put in Marvin windows.
Recent
sashes.
In like the past 10 years?
Yeah. And the doors are Pella doors.
Okay.
Wooden doors.
And what about the furnace and air conditioning?
I just put a new furnace in here a couple of years ago.
Okay. I think that in a home like that, where the cavity that you may have between the exterior and the interior is very minimal, right? There's no way to ensure that you get full coverage inside those walls. And even if you do, it would be a very small, you know, insulation factor, right? The R factor would be so little. The reason I bring up those other parts of your home that you have is that that would be a better use of your investment in your money, but it sounds like you've already done all that. And maybe the next best thing to do is to caulk up and seal all the air gaps that you have around the perimeter of your home, put insulation panels behind all the switch plates and things like that on the exterior walls. And if you're going to add insulation, the place I would add it is in the attic, where you can see what you have, add additional insulation up there to, you know, create a warmer hat on top of the head that you have. That would be a better use of your money, not doing the exterior walls.
Yeah, I've done the attic because when I crawled up there the first time after I purchased, which has been about 50 years ago, there was hardly anything in the ceiling at all. So
sure.
I put in two applications of, so I think I've got about R35 up there right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could go more up there. You know, you really should have more like R50 up there. So if you added another, you know, if you added another 6 inches of a blown in cellulose in there, you know, I would rather you take that money on the insulation, and when it's really cold, go to Arizona.
Well, as a matter of fact, As a matter of fact, I do.
Well, then that's perfect, because then you won't know how cold it is in the house at all. I appreciate the phone call. Do we want to do a quick, at least one text before we go? Because we said people sent in the text, and then we'll take a break.
Sure. I did tell one gentleman, David, who was looking for somebody to come out to Palatine to unclog his dryer vent. You had suggested Dykstra Home Services.
Good.
Right?
Yep.
All right. And the next one, okay, I lost it here.
How do you pronounce that town?
Hold on.
What's it called? Palatine?
Palatine?
Palatine. Okay, go. Keep going.
No? Drain flies in the tub up in the bathroom.
Drain flies in the tub are caused by the gunk and the gook that's on the side of the drain itself. So if you can take the pop-up out and take a tube brush, pour some Pine Sol down the drain, and then scrub the sidewalls of that drain, you will get all this. It will be nasty. You won't like what's coming out of there. But if you clean all that goopity goop out of there and then flush the thing out, you should be able to eliminate the problem with drain flies. That is a... They get on the side of it. That's where they lay their eggs, and that's where they keep coming in and out and feeding off of that. I know that's gross, but that's what they do, and that will solve the problem. Okay, one more?
This person, a caller is asked, or texter, is saying, what order do we do this in? We need to remove a tree that has buckled our cement patio and then pour a new cement patio. Also wondering if we need to wait after the tree is removed for the ground to settle.
Remove the tree. Obviously, where the base of the stump and everything, they're going to grind out, but there may actually be a large root sprig coming off of that needs to be ground as well. Once that's taken out, the ground should be pretty settled right there underneath there, but your concrete contractor will come in with a tamper and mechanically tamp down the earth to really get it to settle, and they'll add some more gravel and whatnot to pour the new concrete. You know, we've got our friends over at AndreasConstruction.com. I'm not sure where the texture came in from, but you could certainly contact them to give you an estimate about that
Arlington
as well.
Arlington Heights.
Perfect. They work in that area as well, and they should be able to help you out as well. All right, 877-2134-LOU is our phone line to call. And also to text. We appreciate the text messages. Just don't text and drive. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. WGN. Well, summer has arrived, and I bet you've been spending time in your backyard. Wouldn't it be nice to upgrade it? Now is the perfect time to plan or build your new outdoor. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted to say. I read that. That's Architect. You just said wet and forget. Summer has arrived. And you need Wet and Forget. That's what threw me, because you use Wet and Forget in the summer. If you have black or green stains on your roof, second story siding, patio, or deck, you should pick up Wet and Forget's Extreme Reach Hose End. Simply attach the nozzle to your garden hose, and you'll be ready to go. The Extreme Reach Hose End sprays up to 30 feet, making it so much easier to clean outdoor surfaces you normally couldn't reach without climbing up on a ladder, all with no scrubbing, rinsing, or dealing with pressure washers. You just spray it on, you wet it, and you forget it. Then every time it rains, Wet and Forget gently cleans the surface for you. Wet and Forget is bleach-free, so you can apply it to virtually any outdoor surface, including brick, stucco, stone, outdoor fabrics, concrete, vinyl, and more. Each bottle cleans up to a whopping 2,000 square feet. Make outdoor cleaning easier. Pick up a bottle of Wet and Forget. And for their Extreme Reach Hose End at Lowe's, Ace Hardware, or visit wetandforget.com to find a store near you.
First call with Bob Surratt.
Wally from McHenry, caller number one.
Getting up to McHenry High School up there and the union painter. All the trainers listen to you out here, Bob.
We like you guys. You know how to do your stuff.
Yeah, we got skills, that's for sure.
Wake up with Bob Surratt, weekday mornings at 5 on WGN.
Did those heavy storms cause damage to your roof or siding? Are you seeing water spots on your ceiling or buckled or missing shingles? Call Rogers Roofing now. It's vital to act fast to ensure a minor problem doesn't turn into a larger one. The pros at Rogers Roofing will accurately identify any roofing or siding issue caused by the storm. And they have decades of experience working with insurance adjusters. And remember, natural disasters like tornadoes can be a magnet for dishonest contractors. Don't just hire anyone knocking on your door. Call a trusted local contractor like Rogers Roofing. They'll provide a free, honest inspection and great work at a fair price. Call Rogers Roofing now. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. That's 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Or log on to RogersRoofing.com. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF or RogersRoofing.com.
Steve Bertrand.
My neighbor had open heart surgery. Well, I'll make him some soup. I made heart healthy chicken soup. It was inedible. Instead of using less than a quarter teaspoon of pepper flakes, I actually put in more than a half a teaspoon.
Chicago's Afternoon News, weekdays 4 to 7.
And the guy had a heart condition?
Mm-hmm. As we age in our humble abode, feeling comfortable and safe in our living space takes on new meaning. One particular area of your home to be conscious of keeping up to date is your bathroom. If bath safety has become an area of concern lately for you or of that of a loved one, then head on over to bathfitter.com/Lou. Bathfitter's professional staff will find a solution that works for you, and they've seen it all in their 35 years of building baths and remodeling baths. Handheld showers, grab bars, and shower seats are just a few of the accessories Bathfitter has to offer to make you feel more at home in the bath. And their vast selection will fit your personal style. Visit bathfitter.com/Lou to book your free virtual or in-person consultation. Right now, save up to $450 on a complete Bathfitter system. Get your bath remodel started today at bathfitter.com/Lou.
Have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now's the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would feel.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building.
Our next caller is going to receive a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling.
I'm holding up the bloodstain.
Whether you're renovating a kitchen, a bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or give them a call at 773-661-0606. And that hat's going to go out to Marty in Rogers Park. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Lou. First-time caller.
Thank you.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Back in February when we had the ice damming, I had a waterfall in my kitchen. Now, just opposite of my kitchen wall, there was a scupper, which around that, the seal and everything had come open and everything. So water, so fresh ice water was pouring in.
Mm.
Now, fortunately, it was above my sink. Now, the wall is a plaster wall. There was minimal damage to cabinets, but there's some cosmetic damage where paint was bubbling and such. Now, how imperative is it that we break that wall open and see if there's any mold or if there's any other damage?
Well, how long was this situation?
Well, let's see. It happened mid-February during the ice damming, and it went on for maybe 3 or 4 days. I mean, at some point, it was coming in at, like, I'd have to change a 5-gallon bucket, like, every 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah, no, you're opening up that wall. Because that kind of saturation on an outside wall with insulation and whatnot is just too great. And it's not worth the risk. If it was there and feeding it and then you didn't really do anything, I understand the penchants for not wanting to do that, but just make a nice hole, expose it all, take all that insulation out. Even if you take it all out and it's dry and whatever, the peace of mind for me to know it, just cut it out, do it, patch it. And have we fixed the leak and everything?
That's going to be done. So that's what needs to be done first. I don't want to go in there and then have this happen again. I mean, the unlikelihood of the perfect storm.
Right.
Is unlikely, but it could still happen. So. Okay, no, I wanted a good opinion, and, because I know some people have said, oh, it's a plaster wall, the mold doesn't grow on plaster. Does it grow on insulation, by chance?
100%.
Or no?
It absolutely does. And whoever said it doesn't grow on plaster is wrong. It grows on everything, and the thing is, on the backside of it, that's where I would worry about it.
Okay, the backside of the plaster.
That you can't see.
And then should I... Right. Now, should I put plaster back up, or would just drywall be sufficient? or does that matter?
I mean, if it's a small area, you can absolutely drywall that and blend it all in, and when if it gets finished the right way, you won't even know the difference.
Okay. Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling, and thank you so much for listening. Have a nice 4th of July weekend. I appreciate that. Steve Bertrand just texted me that he's waiting for Old Navy to open up, and he wants to know if I need anything. Remember when Old Navy used to get the American flag shirts every year with the year? They always used to do that.
And they still do.
We used to get that for all the kids. So, Steve, I need an American flag t-shirt with the year in a large, please.